Okay, case number 4, 112833, United States v. Smith. Hello, Mr. Mohabit.
Good morning, Your Honor. And good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Amir Mohabit. I represent the appellate Troy Smith. This appeal raises two issues. The first is whether the district court erred by creating a sentencing disparity, and the second is whether it erred by finding that Mr. Smith's violation of the Wisconsin fleeing statute was a crime of violence.
Now, does he understand that he is unlikely to do better and could do far worse if we vacate and remand for another resentencing? Because it certainly seems, looking at that record, that Judge Adelman gave him every benefit of the doubt on remand. Does he understand this?
I've discussed this matter with Mr. Smith, Your Honor, and what it basically comes down to on the first issue is whether the district court's application of its own decision, U.S. v. Seib, or maybe it's pronounced Seib, I'm not sure, S-E-I-B, whether the district court used its typical methodology properly. The way it played out...
Why does that have any legal significance, though? I mean, our cases on this disparity point have said you have to look nationwide. The district court observes in passing that the result he's come to is really just about the same result as one would reach by other paths, too, but I don't see anything that gives the force of law to Judge Adelman's habits.
And I understand that point, Your Honor. I think the government's taken the same position in their briefs, or in their response brief. If we take a look at the way the 5K motion was treated, it was granted. Technically, it was granted.
Not but in just substance, technically. I mean, it was granted.
Well, I don't think it was technical.
My concern is that in substance, it may have actually been denied. Because if we use the Seib typical methodology, which Judge Adelman did, and we say Mr. Smith falls in a guideline range of 130 to 162 months, where's the benefit then of the 30% reduction under 5K? It should have gone on top of the 130-month low range. So if we go to 130 months, knock out 30%, that would be a proper application of both the Seib methodology and the 5K benefit.
You know, on the issue of that 30% reduction, it seems that the district court expressly asked the parties whether they wanted to revisit the issue. The defendant agreed that he didn't want to revisit it. How is that not an express waiver of the issue?
Well, because the word Seib wasn't, the case was not referenced at the hearing. Only days later, when the amended judgment was published, did we actually see a citation to that case, which then caused my research.
But Judge Adelman's comments do suggest that he wouldn't have taken the cumulative approach you're talking about. He instead, he says he typically shuns percentages and he looks at the factors in 5K1.1 and uses a somewhat different methodology. But I read that as an either or, not as a both and. And you seem to think it's a both and.
That's my interpretation.
Okay.
And with regard to the second issue raised on appeal, we acknowledge that we had brought this issue in 2010. We lost. We petitioned the Supreme Court. That was denied, and the Supreme Court Sykes decision rules against us. And in my brief, I rely very heavily on the dissenting opinions from Justices Ginsburg and Kagan. And Justice Scalia's dissent said that Sykes, I think, was the fourth case in 5 years that was taken up on the issue of crimes of violence, so it may come up again.
So I have total sympathy for your raising this point, given the strict approach, at least that this Court has taken, to forfeiture of arguments that everybody thought were resolved but that might not be, because, of course, Justice Scalia has criticized the entire Begay line of cases. On the other hand, given Sykes and Dismuke, I'm not sure that there's much other than acknowledging preservation of the point that we can do.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you.
I'll reserve a little bit of time, please.
Thanks
Thank you.
So much. Okay, Mr. Sanders.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Dan Sanders. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in Milwaukee. I'm handled the case below, not the original sentencing that was before this court. I believe Judge Bauer was on that panel, but this last sentencing.
You know, Judge Adelman said that he typically prefers not to use a percentage when accounting for substantial assistance. But what's the practical difference between the calculation under his preferred manner of assessing substantial assistance and the percentage calculation that you're urging? I mean, in the end, did he even use his alternate calculation?
Well, he does cite during the sentencing hearing that he considered his typical methodology. He did not cite the particular case that he refers to, but he did cite to his methodology, and he said, I came to the conclusion that it would be just a bit less than the 30% that Judge Randa in the first sentencing had agreed to, and that was the government's recommendation.
So what's exactly the practical difference?
Well, when the government recommends the 30%, it takes into consideration all five factors that are listed under 5K and that we use in 35B recommendations as well. And what, you know, it's a difference of opinion. We make the recommendation. The court evaluates based on what we present to them.
Okay, but in this case, what are the months' difference?
Well, what Judge Adelman does typically, and being a prosecutor that practices in front of him every day, he'll go through each different factor and assess a weight to it and assign a point, a 2 point, sometimes a half point.
I understand all this. What I'm trying to get you to say is 1 month, 2 months, three months.
It was 2 months.
Right.
It was a 2 month difference between. I mean,
and we have a defendant who's possibly going into the mouth of the lion at this point, don't we? If he returns,
that,
I mean, not that Judge Adelman is a
that
lion.
Is possible.
Adelman is a pussycat, but
we have become used to Judge Adelman's sentencing procedures, and I think it should be blatantly apparent to the court that. I mean, this gentleman started out at 188 to 235. I mean, then he got the 5K reduction of 30% plus. So he's at 130 to 162. Then the judge considered 3553A factors, and he shaved another 10 months off of that. Now he's down to 120. And then, using his discretion again, he gave him the 24 months that he'd been serving on a state revocation, which he had the discretion to.
Does it occur to you that the Supreme Court missed a splendid chance to kill all this when they decided they would just make it discretionary and not mandatory? They had a real chance to shoot it right between the eyes and get rid of the whole goofy problem of 3 months, 4 months, up 1 point, down 1 point, make a mathematical grid out of the nutty thing.
Well,
I'm speaking from a guy who used the discretion that was granted to certain district judges back many years ago on a regular basis without having to refer to such charts.
I mean, Judge Adelman, I will say this.
Oh, he's a good man.
He is very thoughtful in his opinions. He doesn't willy-nilly just run off to the edge of the cliff and jump and go down. He is very, very thoughtful. And if you look at his opinion, or if you look at the sentencing transcript, he goes through in clear detail exactly what he's doing and why. What will happen if this goes back? I don't know. I think that the reality of it is he'd probably end up getting the same thing. Judge Adelman considered, even under the guise of 3553A, the other sentencing factors, counsel tried to then get some more substantial assistance type of departure under that guise, 3553A. And Judge Adelman considered it in that context, but again went back to, I've already considered that enough in the context of the 5K, and I'm not going to do it here. He assessed each of those factors both as a 5K consideration and as a 3553A consideration. And he just wasn't impressed with the amount of downfall or reduction that the defendant was asking for. And he looked at all the factors, his prior record, the circumstances of this particular case, the rehabilitation that he argued for, which Judge Adelman, quite frankly, didn't think was very impressive given the other types of reductions that were given for rehabilitation. As to the other issue, the career offender statute, the government doesn't – I don't have nothing to add unless the court has questions.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mohabbat, how much time does Mr. Mohabbat have? 5 minutes.
I promise I won't even need half of that. You know, to be clear, Mr. Smith and I actually respect Judge Adelman, and it was a pleasure appearing before him. It was my first time going up there to him. We don't think he's a lion.
I bet you like him better than your client, though.
Well, I think we both like him quite a bit, and I think my client likes him better than Judge Rano, to be honest with you. That all being said, as much respect as we have for Judge Adelman, we think there was a little bit more room for improvement that would get Mr. Smith a more fair sentence, and that's what we're here for today.
Thank you so much. Now, you were appointed.
I was.
You? Look at that. You got a trip up to Milwaukee. So exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you for the...
You're welcome.
You have the thanks of the court. And you have the thanks of the court. Everyone in this place has the thanks of the court. Case is going to be taken under advisement.